footy's best punting plays for the weekend's games. Mick McGuan and Adam White join Gareth Hall for RSN Central's Footy Fill-Up.
And we'd love to get your feedback and input in today's segment for the Footy Fill-Up, 0416 90 50 52. Send your questions in, 0416 90 50 52. It is the grand final preview show of the Footy Fill-Up, our final show of the year. These two gentlemen have been sensational all year for us here on RSN Central, so let's welcome in the team. Michael McGuan, good morning to you.
G'day, Gareth. G'day, Whitey.
And hello, Adam.
Yes, hello, Gareth and Mickey. What a big couple of days it is. It's exciting. We've got there.
How many times, Mick, have you changed your mind about this match after thinking about it now for close to 2 weeks?
Gee, I'd hate to think, Gareth. You're spot on with that because I think this game could go down to the wire, and I think we've realistically got the best two teams when you look on the season in its entirety into the grand final. One team who got there first, obviously, and that was the Melbourne Footy Club, and we were completely overawed how they demolished the Cats. But then 24 hours after that preliminary final success of Western Bulldogs demoralising Port Adelaide at home, we knew then we were going to have a grand final. I think that hasn't changed.
What about you, Whitey?
Yeah, I think for me, I agree with Mickey that for a large portion of the year, these two teams were the best two. Both went through a bit of a trough in the second half of the year. Bulldogs closer to the final series than that of Melbourne. But I think what we have seen is that through the final series, the Bulldogs are now back to that same sort of footy they were playing sort of the midway point of the year. We spoke to Josh Dunkley on the breakfast show today, and you know, he sort of franked that by saying, yeah, look, you know, we did lose our way a little bit. Marcus Bonapelli has spoken about that as well. But going into the grand final, they are confident that they're back to as the sort of form that saw them on top of the ladder. So, yeah, I think we've got the best two teams in it, and it is going to be close. And I have changed my mind many times, Gareth, on who I think is going to win this game.
Let's try and break down this match now. Look at some of the crucial matchups, some of the strategies that they might go in with for both sides ahead of the grand final. And I've found a few of these media conferences over the last couple of weeks really interesting, but I think this has been the most interesting one. We just had his old man, Mark Hunter, doing the Victorian form preview today, and his son, Lockie Hunter's been a terrific player for the Doggies this year on the wing, but this is what he had to say about the Doggies' approach to Melbourne's nearly most important player in a way, Maxi Gawn.
Teams have tried lots of different things on him in the past to try and curb his influence, and being physical is obviously going to be one of those. You know, you can't just allow him to have a free run.
So what do you read into that, Mick McGuan? Do you think they'll go straight after Maxi?
Yeah, I do. And it's a grand final, so let's face the facts. I think it's also a bit of a strategy of the Bulldogs getting it out there to let Max know something like this might be coming. For a small percentage, a Max might take his eyes off what matters most for a period of time. I'm not saying it'll work, but I can understand the psychology of what the Bulldogs are doing there. But I think Max is a much more mature, rounded, great leader of the Melbourne Football Club. He'd expect that in a way that it should be coming, so he'll be prepared for it.
How do you think you'll handle it, Whitey?
I think he'll be fine. I think at this time of year, particularly with a two-week gap between the prelims and the grand final, there's a lot of talk that goes on, a lot of, you know, newspaper columns that need to be filled, all that sort of thing. I think a lot of it is a bit of talk is cheap. And when the ball is bounced, it's going to be an aggressive game because it's a grand final, as Mick said, and these two sides are very aggressive in the way that they attack the football. So I think Stephen Martin is a big factor in this game. You know, he didn't play against Melbourne last time. I think we saw the difference of how important he can be in times against Port Adelaide, against, you know, a good ruckman in Scott Lysett. So I think that's a big factor in this, Stephen Martin. And I think it's, you know, he's a big body. And I think he'll be in there to potentially hurt Max whenever he gets the opportunity. But I don't think it's going to be sort of something that happens significantly. I think it'd just be part and parcel of what would happen in a normal, you know, high-stakes game.
What are you saying to Steph Martin, Mick?
I'll just tell him to be aggressive at the start. Really jump into Gawn, in and at him. Protect the drop zone, try to get first hands in the footy, try to take away a real asset of Gawn, and that's his hit-outs to advantage to his midfield group. In Oliver, Petraka, and also Viney and Harms will spend time through there. But I think the think your question is, I think we all understand that Max Gawn is really match hard. He's had a fantastic preparation. He's fit and healthy going into a grand final. By comparison, you've got a Steph Martin who's had a limited preparation. He's relied on a really strong four-week training block to get to a preliminary final. But I must say, as I said last week, the grand final berth is completely different to a preliminary final victory. So I think he's got to be strong around the stoppages, which he will be. But has he got the endurance base to last 2 hours of footy, knowing full well that Max Gawn's a great athlete and he'll be sliding up and down that ground defensively to support his back end? But I've got no doubt Max Gawn, at the front of his mind, will be sliding forward as often as he can to hit the scoreboard, which we know he did in the preliminary final.
So I know what... Yep. Sorry,
that's me. The challenge. That's the challenge, I think, for Steph Martin to get right, and also English in that situation, because I've still got elements of concern over Timmy English's competitiveness when he's a ruckman sliding back behind the ball to stand in front of the opposition's big forwards, but also a big ruckman who's becoming a forward based on his positioning.
We know Whitey likes to go back in history looking at their previous encounters during a season. Here's Maxi Gawn. He was on the Breakfast Club earlier this week discussing the last two matches between the sides in 2021.
We were able to get on top at Marvel in round 11, and then they were able to get on top in the rain at the G. So I think they kicked something like six or seven stoppage goals, forward sort of 70 stoppage goals on us in the wet. So that's something we'll try and tidy up, and we feel like we have since that. That was sort of a big moment for us throughout the season, was when we did have those goals kicked against us from a back stoppage point of view to really tighten up that area, and we feel like we have. But the way they scored against Port shows a real dynamic way to score off turnover as well.
So, Whitey, I'll go to you here first of all. If you're the midfield coach, and we know that you love your midfielders because basically you love to bet with the disposals, if you're analysing each and every midfield, are you tagging plays? Do you go to Liberatore for the doggies? How are you playing this out? And then I'll go to you, Mickey, on this.
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think this is the key factor in it all. I think it's more important than Max Gawn. It's how that midfield mix works. So they've got two options with... Oliver, they either let him go, which fundamentally they did in that game back in round 19. Clayton Oliver had 38 disposals that night, or do they try and tag him? Now, I think Josh Dunkley will go to Oliver. Dunkley didn't play in that game at the MCG. I think that's the logical matchup for him. I don't think they can allow Oliver to completely dictate the midfield stoppages. And then from a Bulldogs point of view, it's how they tackle Tom Liberatore. Now, I reckon there's a chance, Mickey, that they might go sort of head-to-head, Jack Viney and Tom Liberatore in that particular role, potentially, or do they go harms to Liberatore, which they've done at times in the games played this year. But I think that holds the key to so much, is how they try and curb the influence of Oliver and how they try and curb the influence of Liberatore.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic, isn't it, to try to get the balance of your inside v outside combinations as a midfield group. Also, your team defence that you've worked so long and hard over a long period of time to say, well, if we do go with the tagger, does that destructure our defensive 18-man team defence? I always have queried, as you know, Whitey and Gareth, even this year, but over the history of time, I just don't understand why an opposition club or coach doesn't decide to tag the opposition's best playmaker who sets up so much attacking chains, and he could be the point of difference as to why you win or lose. And in this situation, as Max rightfully pointed out, it was really concerning watching the replay a few times last week of that round 19 game. I've always felt that the Bulldogs have become more selfless and they were more or less a hunt-riff-grunt team, and they just wanted to get numbers at the contest, beast or honeypot, so to speak. But when you all got that mentality, when they had, say, Nathan Jones, Angus Brayshaw, Jack Viney, Clayton Oliver, Christian Petracca, they've got far better balance. And what the balance does, it adds vital layers of defence off the contest, just outside that inner circle of competition. And they didn't do that well against the Bulldogs, and that's the reason why they got scored 46 points from clearances in that game that Max, we heard from Max in that grab. And that was their fifth most of the season. So they would have learned some really valuable lessons out of defensive setup, how to structure up the ground in those critical areas, 70 metres from goal. In terms of talking about matchups, I've got no doubt Simon Goodwin will start with his best playmakers in at the centre bounds, and that being Max Gawn as the ruckman, Got no doubt Clayton Oliver will be in there. Christian Petracca will start. And I'd start Jack Viney on the back of his form 2 weeks ago. But I'd then give creative license to Christian Petracca to drift forward, much the same as what Dustin Martin's had success with at Richmond. Because we know Christian Petracca's a bit like Dusty, doesn't know where the defensive 50 is. I think he's had about 7% of his total possessions this year inside the opposite, inside his own defensive 50. He's a midfielder forward who can impact the scoreboard with effective ball use, but also power and that breakaway speed that he's got. So I reckon he could be that centre forward type player that Melbourne will get great benefit from. Harms is the one to come up from half forward to lock on to one of the Western Bulldogs' best midfielders in that situation. So I think they've got some flexibility to throw at the Western Bulldogs, but the conversation then goes to the Western Bulldogs. What do they do? And as Whitey rightfully pointed out, if there's going to be a tag player for Luke Beveridge, I think Duckling's a man. He's done it with success in the finals with Parrish down there at Launceston with Dunkley. Dunkley can go to Oliver. I think the Bulldogs will start with Vivatore in there. They'll start with Bontempelli in there. And they'll start with Jackson McRae in there. And much the same, Dunkley could be the roll-up midfielder who takes over that coverage. And Bontempelli could be the one who drifts forward at the appropriate time. Remembering that in the two games in round 11 and round 19, Josh Bruce isn't there. Now, he's kicked 5 goals in those 2 encounters in the home and away series. He's not playing out of the 21 goals as an aggregate the Bulldogs scored. That's nearly 25% of total score that's not going to play in a grand final. So their avenues to goal, they've got to be someone different. Bontempelli could be the person that goes to the goal square for a rest, keep him on the ground as much as you can. So I think grand finals are determined by your best players.
We'll take a quick break. It's 10:46. We'll come back and ask Mickey and Adam about the forward and back lines of the Doggies and Demons come the grand final on Saturday afternoon.
There would have been a huge amount of pressure over the last 12 to 18 months after that 18 season with a couple of, well, one really poor one and then one where we probably didn't live up to expectations. So, but at no stage did you really realise that. He just focused on what he needed to do for the group, and he put the team and the club first. And he's as I said, he's grown and developed even further in the last 12 to 18 months in particular. And there's no surprises that we're seeing this group blossom.
So that was Nathan Jones on the Breakfast Club. He spoke so well to the team there this morning with Daniel Harford and Whitey, of course, and I love that grab there, Mickey McGuan, when he was talking about the development, the growth from Simon Goodwin. He was challenged by the club and I think a few of the players there at the end of last year, and he's become a better coach for it. And, of course, this year he was named the Coach of the Year.
Yeah, it's a great achievement by Simon. Always respected him dearly as a player. Certainly been to the grand final stage as a player, knows what it's about. But to see his coaching evolve and to understand the strengths of his players, but to get them, more importantly, to buy into the roles that are expected in today's footy is something that probably we can all hold our hat on, particularly if the Demons get the job done on Saturday night. Example, Angus Brayshaw, we all probably thought he was a midfielder that used to track the footy and try to get the contest to contest. But to watch him closely, we'll see Hunter versus Brayshaw on the wing. They'll probably play on each other mostly. They keep their width, they keep their shape. They're there in case one of the opposition players collapses and goes to the contest. They get some outside ball because of that situation, but also they slide back really strongly to support their defence. And if it comes in one side, they're there to be there. If the ball goes to the other side, it's an exit option as well. So Brayshaw plays a really important role now, and it's that selfless buying to understand what's important for the team to function is why Melbourne are in a grand final.
0416 90 50 52. If you've got a question for us, let us know who your Norm Smith medalist as well, Whitey.
Yeah, Gareth, I think one of the other interesting things from that chat with Nathan Jones this morning, and I do encourage anyone that's interested, particularly from a Melbourne perspective, to have a listen to it on rsn.net.au, was him talking about how there were quite significant demands placed on Simon Goodwin in last off-season to change. And it was about simplifying things and sticking to something. And I think that's what is one of the key reasons why Melbourne have made that significant improvement, was just to simplify. And it, not every play had to be perfect. Not every strategy had to be perfect. But as they've been able to simplify it, it almost has become perfect because they've been able to a little bit like the Melbourne Storm, just focused on the fundamentals of what they're trying to do rather than necessarily the intricacies.
Hey, Mickey, I was watching Footy Classified last night with Ross Lyon, and I was trying to work this out, and he's been doing it all year, Simon Goodwin, and I couldn't quite understand where Ross was coming from, so hopefully you can help me out here. He says that he's concerned, basically he was saying that he's concerned that Simon Goodwin will be coaching from the boundary line and he'll be the first coach in the history to win a premiership by doing just that. And he basically was indicating that Luke Beveridge has that advantage up in the coach's box because he can see more. And if the momentum is starting to swing the doggy's way, Simon might have a little bit of trouble trying to identify what's going on. Can you give us an insight into what Ross is saying there? And do you agree with him?
No, not really, because I think everyone's different and you've got the total trust eyes that you've got upstairs in the coach's box, who's an extension of your eyes and the player's eyes. So, no, I don't. It's been previous VFL coaches have sat on the bench and watched their teams win premierships. In the current landscape, I think we just all expect us to be up in an elevated view, working as one. But I think with what Simon Goodwin has done in put in place this year, I see no reason to change just because it's a grand final. I'd be certainly going with what he feels comfortable and have the trust in the protocols that on match day they put in place because they've worked to this point.
Whitey, I find it fascinating where the marbles are going. Oh, sorry, Mickey.
I was just saying, it won't be a reason why they lose, Gareth.
Yep. Where do the magnets go in the back line for the Demons? Harrison Petty was so impressive, I think, when he had that opportunity to play in Hawkins. Do you say, all right then, mate, go straight to Norton. Go and beat him. Go and beat him on Saturday night. And Stevie, mate, we've had that hamstring little problem for the last couple of weeks. Play on English. Try and work off him. Is that what you do, Whitey, or do you just back May to go to Norton and get the job done?
Look, it's a really interesting one, that one. I don't think May is 100% fit.
Yeah.
Their main training session was yesterday. Now, apparently he got through, but I'm not sure if it was round 7 or round 8, I'm not sure he'd be playing. So that I don't know what they do. I don't know whether they potentially try and hide him, but I don't think you can in a grand final. So I think you just got to put him where he would normally go and just go with it.
What do you do?
I'm always very nervous about them playing in. Sorry, I'm very nervous about any team that plays injured players in grand finals because often it doesn't work.
With that, Mickey, and Lee Matthews is famous, the Alan Richardson story that we played there with Dean and Hamish there on Friday morning when he basically just tackled him. I know it's a different injury with his collarbone, to say, well, if you're right to go, you've got to handle this. If you're Simon Goodwin, do you just test his hamstring right out? And if he tears it, he tears it? What's the process there?
Oh, they would have went through a stringent assessment as soon as it happened post his last game. My information, it was more back-related than the belly of the hamstring muscle. And I got sort of confirmation as of Monday after the preliminary final victory that he spoke to a couple of my mates who love their footy. And basically, Stephen May's a good mate of theirs. And he got confirmation. They got confirmation from him that he'll be fine. And that was way back, nearly 10 days ago. So I think they would put him through what we call jumping through the hoops and leave it to the medical advice. And if they believe that he's right, go with him. I don't think they need to do anything to the extreme to challenge whether the hamstring lives up to the grand final pressures, because nothing can replicate the pressures in a training type atmosphere as much as a grand final stage. And if that's the case and they believe that he will get done, and obviously the honesty, the discussion has to take place with the faith that's there, trust that's there with the player to coach and also his teammates. If Stephen May puts his hand up to play, I'd be absolutely shocked if he doesn't go to the opposition's best forward. That's what he's done all year. And I look back in some history, round 17, 2009, Stephen May played on Norton for 79 minutes. Round 13, 2020, played on him 78 minutes. The two games this year, round 11, 98 minutes, and round 19, 85 minutes. So even though Bruce played in those two games to get Petty to go to him, I just still think Stephen May the best defender, and they'd like to keep their defensive structure in place. The key defender goes low, plays on the deepest board. I think Stephen May plays on Aaron Norton every day of the week.
I'm looking forward to that clash, especially if Norton gets some confidence in the early part of that match and starts to jump at the footy and he thinks, oh, Stevie's not right today or tonight. Well, I find that fascinating, that clash. And just with this, Whitey, regarding Norton and May, when you look back at some of the vision, especially, say, on the preliminary final match with the Cats and the Demons, the work that Maxi Gawn does to help his defence, I think it's overlooked sometimes. I think it's very underrated.
Yeah. It is, and I tell you who else falls into that category is what Marcus Bonapelli does to go back and help an undersized Bulldogs defence, and he's going to have to do that for the Dogs, I think, in this game too, because of just the height and the versatility of the Melbourne forward line. You were talking before, Gareth, about before the break, about the two forward lines. I think they're both interesting because they're both very different. You've got a very settled Melbourne sort of forward six, if you like, or forward five or six. You've got Brown, McDonald, Fritch as your sort of your traditional sort of medium to tall forwards, and you've got Neil Bullen and then Pickett and Spargo. That's been very settled now for the back half of the year. Whereas the Bulldogs, they're sort of all over the place. I mean, obviously Norton's down there. Mickey mentioned before about the injury to Josh Bruce, but they are very much a lot less predictable. They've got both in players coming in and out of the team or out of the midfield into the forward line, but also the way they play. You've got Mitch Hannon, you've got certainly Waitman. They're a different looking team. And if you look at their final scores, 85 against Essendon, 79 against Brisbane, and then 116 against Port Adelaide. The feature of that is where the goals come from. A lot of goals from midfielders. You know, Smith kicked all those goals in the prelim, but he also kicked plenty of goals in the final against Brisbane as well. You've got Hannon's popping up and kicking six goals in three games. So it hasn't been Norton necessarily kicking the goals. They're getting multiple goals from Bontempelli, multiple goals from Liberatore. And I think in a grand final, Mickey, that unpredictability might be the difference.
Yeah, potentially. But I've always been a strong believer too, you need your key forwards to stand up in that grand final line. Whether it be Brown and Donald at one end, it's a bit of Jackson and Gawn, or at the other end, it's Norton and English, with a bit of hybrid influence. You've got to stand up in grand finals. Because you don't want to get outmarked, your primary role is to mark the footy, have shots at goal. If you can get outmarked, you're not what's needed for the team. And I think that's the reason why a huge part of their team going into this game, from a Bulldog perspective, is if we can't mark it, we can't allow Mays, Lever, Salem, back the air. It's a ground level.
Which is
at the ground level, as we witnessed against Port Adelaide, a plus 37 with ground ball differential. They've got after the footy, the instinctive nature of a Waitman, a Hannon. These types of players, Johannesson, Bontempelli when he's forward, they have created now for them in the footy and hit the solid. That's the thing, they're very good at their forward 50.
Yeah, we'll come back to you, Mickey. We might get you to get back into that spot, that beautiful spot where the line is nice and clear. Whitey, we know that the D's we'll be thinking about making a change. We know the Doggies have. We've got Keith coming back in, which is expected, and also Waitman comes back in from into that side from their preliminary final victory against Port Adelaide. What do the Demons do?
Yeah, I don't think they'll make a change.
I think they have to have Hibbert in the side. I think he's important to their back line.
Yeah, I do. I like his aggression too in a final. Look, they might bring Hunt back. They might look at Smith for height. But I don't necessarily think they need it against the Dogs forward line. So I'd be surprised they change it considering how well they played against the Cats. So, if Stephen May gets up, I'd be surprised if there was a change.
Mick?
Yeah, I just didn't hear the question because I wasn't there.
Yeah, so what would you do with the Demons? We know that Keith and Waitman comes back in for the Doggies. Do you make changes for that Melbourne Football Club side, especially do you bring in Hunt to break a few lines off a halfback flank? What do you do there?
Oh, well, that'd be a strong discussion, I reckon, about Jaden Hunt, because in one of the games, round 11, he started on Bailey Smith as a high defender who played on the high forward. And as we know, this is where it's going to be intriguing, fellas, from a tactical standpoint and also a strategy standpoint. If Bailey Smith rolls up and Hunt doesn't play, what does Salem do? Does he stay back to allow him to be the free defender? But you're giving what the Bulldogs want, have an extra number, have the numerical advantage around stoppage. If they work up and engage, then does Treloar roll up? Does Bowie then drop off and become that seventh defender, or goes to the opponent that Lever can get freed up on? All these sort of situations within the game are going to be intriguing. But from a selection standpoint, I think Hunt is the only one they'd be entertaining coming in. But then it comes down to a situation who goes out. I can't see Hibbard being dropped. I think he'll go to Waitman because he plays tall, but also got that ability to play small. It'd be really interesting to see what Lever does. Everyone's talking about Shacky will do the Alira role on him. But let's face the facts, fellas. A sitting dark defender doesn't have to accept what the opposition are trying to do to you. You can still play on who you think's right, and that's what the Melbourne defence do really well. They orchestrate to get what they want. They don't to be sit and sit and duck to allow the opposition forwards to play a defensive role to take his strength away. He'll orchestrate the right matchup that suits his interceptability. If he plays on a small, so be it. If he plays on a tall, so be it. But at the end of the day, they won't surrender and give Western Bulldogs and Luke Beveridge exactly what they want in front of the ball.
All right then, lads, let's get your predictions. Norm Smith medalist, staking plans, how we make some money inside this AFL Grand Final this year, Whitey. And well done, lads, throughout the year. You've been sensational, Mickey, all over Bont and Pally. You were spot on with most of your selections during the year. And Whitey, congratulations on this segment. You identified Ollie Wines after round number 5 at $61. BJ Goddard says that you were listening to the Footy Fix, of course, on a Monday. But well done, Whitey. It's been a fill-up. Let's hope it can continue towards the grand final.
Well, that's right. We can't rest on our laurels. Look,
no.
I'm going with the Western Bulldogs to win.
Have now, you
I'm
changed not doing your mind, any... Adam?
No. Well, I told you, I've changed it plenty of times. But I've gone back to the Bulldogs. So I'm not doing this with confidence, but I do think they represent some value. I just look at the last time they played. It was only round 19. The way the game was played, I reckon, could be similar to the way the grand finals played. I reckon the Bulldogs are playing well after that slump after the Melbourne game. I think their confidence is back. I just think their midfield runs a bit deeper than Melbourne's. And I'm also looking at that 2016 factor as well. I think that might play a part with the experience the Dogs might have over Melbourne. So I certainly don't think there's too much in between the two sides, but I'm picking the Dogs. From a Norm Smith medal perspective, I reckon McRae is a great bet at $11. I think he's pretty much guaranteed, unless he gets injured, to at least get 30-odd possessions, and he never gets injured. So to be able to get $11 on McRae, I think he's a really good value option there. Bontempelli, again, it's the obvious, but he's $8. If the Dogs are to win, both Bontempelli and McRae have to play extremely well. As outsiders, from a Dogs perspective for Norm Smith, I'd have a look at maybe Dunkley at 41, who had a great grand final in 2016, and even English at 67. From a Melbourne perspective, if you like that, obviously the obvious is Petrarca and Oliver at $6 and $7. Finding value, I'd be looking at Viney at $21, or maybe a Harms or a Pickett at $41. My staking plan, I'm just going to be really simple here. I'm going to have $50 on McRae to win the Norm Smith at $11, and then $50 on my disposal bet, which is going to be McRae 30 or more, Petrarca 25 or more, Bontempelli and Liberatore 20 or more. That's $2.80. You could throw in others as well, but I'm trying to keep it as simple as I can for the grand final.
So McRae, Petrarca, Libba, and who was the other player?
Bontempelli. So McRae 30 or more, Petrarca 25 or more, Bontempelli and Liberatore 20 or more. That's $2.80. I think it'll be a high possession grand final. So, you know, as I said, you could throw in Treloar, Dale and Salem to all get 20 or more. With that four I mentioned, you get $5. So I'll be playing around with a few of those on the day.
I've changed my mind on a few occasions, and just for the record, I'm having a pun on Bailey Smith because he stands out, Bailey, these days. We all know that. And the Dogs by 11 points. But I really don't know, Mickey, to tell you the truth. I just think, and I'm hoping, it'll be a great match.
Yeah, I've got no doubt it will be. And as we spoke about earlier, fellas, this game could go either way. I love both these teams, the way they go about their footy. They've got different strengths in different areas. I reckon you talk about the defensive setup. You've got a layup defence in Melbourne. You got a rebounding defence in the Bulldogs. You know what I'm talking about there with the assets they've got behind the ball, who use their feet well, so well in Caleb Daniel and also Bailey Dale. But for the game, I'll decided to tip Melbourne after much contemplation. David Thompson, who you know pretty well from West Australian Trots, rang me this morning, Gareth.
Yep.
And just to see, checking in Victoria, how we're travelling. He told me it's going to be 27 degrees in Perth on Saturday. That's what they're saying. It's going to be a hot game of footy. It'll be nice and hot at night. With the running power and the fitness levels and the health of the Melbourne team, I just advantage them in those type of conditions. And with Melbourne winning by 5 points, I think also we can align the Norm Smith medalist to Christian Petrarca. High possession midfielders, goal-kicking midfielders, that's what he possesses. He could be the game-breaker. We've seen Dusty Martin play a similar role, dominating periods of the grand finals that he's won Norm Smith's seen before. But he's also had important stages when to hit the scoreboard. And Petrarca has kicked 27-18 this year, which is a great conversion overall. But in his finals, he's only kicked 3 goals, 4. If he happens to kick 4 goals straight in the grand final alongside his 25 to 35 possessions, which he's capable of getting, there's your Norm Smith medalist.
Some news just breaking as well that Michael Voss is expected to be announced the coach of the Carlton Football Club at some time today, Mickey. They're just telling the players right now as we speak. So Michael Voss to be the coach of the Carlton Football Club. Your thoughts on that?
I think it's a great appointment. Hugely respected. Great admiration for him as a player. 20 years ago, he was the best midfielder, the toughest midfielder. He willed himself in contests. Better than most midfielders in the competition. Conversation was always around Voss, Hurd, Buckley and Robert Harvey in that period of time. But for many, it was all about Voss because he could play through the midfield, go forward and also get it done and hit the scoreboard. He will bring back a hard edge, bring back a respect, but also not allowing AFL footballers in that Carlton environment to be comfortable and sit on those cushions of advantage that they've had probably for the last 2 to 3 years. He'll change that culture big time.
And you look there, Matty Scarlett might head there to be his assistant along with Michael Voss. You've got Brian Cook. There's really no excuses anymore for the Carlton Football Club, Adam White.
It's a good front feel, isn't it, when you got the Brian Cook-Michael Voss combination and who knows what the assistants will be around him. I just think it's terrific that someone is getting a second chance. He's been an icon of the game as a player. It didn't work out for him first time round as coach. It was never going to be an easy task taking over from Lee Matthews. He didn't sort of crack it and then just spend the rest of his life in the media. He went and did a proper apprenticeship under Ken Hinckley. Port Adelaide have consistently been a good team for a long time. And I'm a bit like you, Mickey. I think he'll bring a harder edge to the way that they play. So I'm just wrapped for him. It's great to have a big name back front and centre as the coach of a club.
It's been a lot of fun, lads. We appreciate your time and doing what you've done for us here on RSN Central throughout the year. Good luck today or on Saturday night with the grand final. Hopefully we back plenty of winners, and I'm just hoping it's a terrific game of footy. Good on you, Mickey.
Good on you, Gareth. Thanks for your involvement, mate. Really enjoyed the year. And to you, Whitey, thanks very much.
Good on you, Whitey. We'll catch up with you tomorrow morning on The Breakfast Club, of course. And I think Boomer Harvey will help you preview the grand final with Adam Ramanaskas, along with your skipper, the leader, Daniel Harford.
That's right. It's always good fun. And we need luck every day, not just on Saturday, Gareth.
110%. Thanks for that, lads. And that is the footy fix, plus the footy filler on this Thursday morning. We'll take a quick break. It's 11 minutes past 11. On the other side of it, we'll find your winner with the Form Express. And then don't forget, David Gately will be joining us. Gators game plan ahead of a big weekend of racing. Moonee Valley on Friday night, Sandown on Saturday, and Rose Hill also on Saturday.